Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, I am Luke Llewellyn. I am the young adults pastor and the CG pastor. So I co-sign all of the CGs, even the all of the above CG that Alana just started. And we are so thankful for that. But we are so glad you're here. We're so glad you're in this room. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that tonight God wants to speak to you. That we don't come to church just to go through the motions or come to church just to hang out or come because it's the cool thing to do, but we come because God has the ability and willingness to change you. God has the ability and willingness to heal you, to bring breakthrough into your situation, no matter how you walked in, no matter how broken, how confused, how doubtful, you can leave this place tonight knowing that there is a plan and a purpose for your life. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into it. We're going to have some fun for a few minutes. And then I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to pray for a few groups of people, so we're going to do that at the end. And then we got Italian ice. I was really confused when Caleb said, say Italy. I was like, where are we going with this? I want to go to Italy and Greece. That's neither here nor there. But can we pray? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. God, thank you that you are in this place right now. God, thank you that you are here and you are moving. So God, I pray that you would speak through me. God, do what only you can do in this place. God, and I pray at the end that people would meet you in a real way. And lastly, but not leastly, thank you for Bryce Young and his ability to throw touchdowns for the University of Alabama Crimson Tide. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said, thank you, Pastor Bobby, for that spirited amen for Bryce Young. I don't know if you guys watched that Alabama-Miami game, but man, boy can throw the ball to the right team, which is important in football. I don't know a lot, but I know a couple dumb things. But we're going to preach tonight, and tonight the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is I Am With You. If you're not taking notes, you're telling me that you're going to forget it, and that's fine, but I hope you get something out of it. I Am With You. And if you like subtitles, like I do, or second titles, multiple titles, my second title would be Shipwrecked, Snake Bitten, and Steadfast. Shipwrecked, Snake Bitten, and Steadfast. We're going to be starting out of Matthew 28, which is a little disappointing that it's not out of the book of Luke, but we will push forward. It's this popular passage. It's called the Great Commission. So Jesus died, he rose, and then this is what he had to tell his disciples. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. If you have not been baptized, next week, baptisms at every campus, get baptized, sign up. Verse 20, he says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. Turn to your neighbor and say, be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Great Commission. This is our calling. This is our mission as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, as a disciple, as a lover of Jesus. This is what we are called to do. If you simplify all of it, we are called to go and make disciples of all nations and help them. I love that it says, teach them to obey the new commands. This is our calling. It's exciting. But I love looking at it and thinking about it in the context of how this would have been received by the disciples. Like, I like to read the Bible and then picture myself in the Bible and then react accordingly. So you have to think about the disciples. Jesus died, raised from the dead, appeared to them. They're stoked, right? Like, he was the Messiah. He was who he said he was. He died and rose from the grave. They're excited. They weren't following some lunatic, but they were following the Messiah. But then on the other hand, they're a little nervous because they understand that if he died, raised from the grave, appeared in front of them, that he was going to go to heaven soon. And he was going to take his place at the right-hand throne of God. And he was going to no longer physically be with them. You know, because there's like another confidence when somebody's physically with you. Like if you're going somewhere, maybe taking out the trash with your friend because that is a buddy system activity, there's a boldness. You're not scurrying back inside, staying away from the critters and the things that come out of, what are those things on the curb called? Drainage? Gutters? Where the clown lives? Everyone knows. But if you are just doing it by yourself, you're a little nervous. And the disciples were realizing in this moment that they had been walking with Jesus for a long time in the physical. So they could mess up and they could be like, hey, oh, Jesus, I messed this one up. Can you fix it real quick? And he's like, yeah, fish and loaves here. You know, like healing here. And they were also nervous because they were remembering what Jesus had said them to them before, just chapters before, if you will, where he says, I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you may have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I have overcome the world. So they're playing this in their mind. It's an exciting moment, but at the same time, it's nerve-wracking. They're afraid. Jesus won't be with them physically, and what he promised to them was trials and sorrows. Like, that's not that exciting, right? I don't know about you, but I like when stuff ends happy. Like, I don't particularly like to watch movies that have a really sad ending. I don't want to walk out of the theater or off my couch more recently and be sad about it. I want it to end well, like I want Noah and Allie to be together forever. You know what I'm saying? Deep cut. Like, I don't love the ending of the movie Titanic. We all know that there was room for two on that floating piece of wood. Why did she not scoot over and let Jack jump up there and float to safety and live happily ever after? There was room for two, and we all know it. I like when stuff goes my way. I like when my football team wins, which happens a lot in college and never in the NFL. Shout out to my Chicago Bears. It's our year, baby. Oh. I like when my son smiles. You know, like I like when things go well. I like when I'm leaving for work and my wife kisses me. You know, like I like happy things. I like when things are going my way. And I sometimes, when I see movies that end poorly, I just rewrite them in my head and convince myself that that's what happened, right? Like, that's not true. I've seen the ending and everyone lives and they fall in love. You're ridiculous. And when I read this, I think that. I wish that this verse said, I have told you this so that you may have peace. Here on earth, you will have no trials and only happy times. Go and make disciples and everything's gonna work out. Go and make disciples and you will never be in pain. You will never have sorrow. You never have tough times. It's just gonna be a grand old time. But that's not what it says. Frankly, that's not biblical, on it. I mean, I just read it, so don't have to be a theologian to pull that one out, do you? Since the beginning, since the first sin, and since our ability as humanity, our gift of free will, we have choice. And we make bad decisions. And people around us make bad decisions. And those bad decisions therefore have implications on us. And bad stuff happens to good people. And stuff happens that we can't explain. No matter how much I pull out of the word, the theology, some stuff, we just can't explain why that would happen or why you would walk through that storm or why you would lose that loved one early or why you would be battling that. We just can't explain. But God says, I am with you always. You know, there's a guy in the Bible. His name's Paul. He's like a superstar of the Bible, one would say, A-list. Wrote like 2/3 of the New Testament. Many of you know this. I'm just reminding you. And everywhere he went, it seemed like revival. right? Everywhere he went, the church was growing. Everywhere he went, people were getting healed. Everywhere he went, people were doing amazing. It was just incredible. And you read this, and then you read the stories of Paul. He didn't have an easy life. He went through trials. He went through storms, some his own fault, some not his fault. But he continued to move forward. He continued to preach. He continued to pray for people. He continued to take ground. He continued to build the church. How did he continue to do that despite? How did he continue to push forward despite the storms? And I think there's a lot to be learned from Paul's life. And I just want to pull two things out of Paul's life tonight. And then I want to pray. And the first thing I think we can pull out of Paul's life is he never forgot his mission. He never forgot his mission. Paul had an extremely powerful revelation that the people he was called to reach and the God he was called to serve were more important and more pressing than any situation he could ever walk through. And nothing on earth could ever stop him from focusing on the eternal. He remembered the Great Commission. He remembered the go and make disciples, and he always kept that at his forefront, so no matter what happened around him, his focus was set on how can I make more disciples? How can I tell more people about Jesus? How can I pray for just one more person? How can I take one step forward? And number two, he knew that Jesus was with him. See, we're going to go to this story of Paul in Acts 27, and I'm going to kind of be the storyteller of it for you. We're going to paraphrase a bit of it, but we're going to get through it together. Acts 27, Paul had just been arrested for preaching Jesus. I am glad that that is not a reality anymore. However, it was for Paul. Paul got arrested for preaching Jesus, and they ordered him to go to Rome to basically do court in Rome. So he gets on a ship several hundred miles, would take like days, like, you know, the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. They didn't have motors. So they got on it. The wind was blowing the right direction. And then halfway through the trip, they hit a storm. And the wind and the waves start crashing on the boat. And the captain says, all right, we got to throw off all of the luggage and all of the cargo so we can make this ship lighter so that we'll stay on top of the waves. They do that. They're still sinking a bit. They said, all right, we're going to throw off all of the prisoners, Paul being one of them. And then he's like, wait, maybe let's not do that. And then moments later, the boat breaks apart. The people that are able to swim, swim to this nearby island. The people that can't swim, get on the pieces of the ship that broke up that were big enough for two people that they did not realize in Titanic. I don't hold that close to my heart at all. She could have saved him. Like, what a way to go freeze in the water and then make a movie about it? Disgusting. So Paul is a prisoner being sent to court, which court was not very fair. And then he's shipwrecked and he makes it to shore and he's cold. So he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a fire. Makes a fire, reaches in to get more logs for the fire, gets bitten by a viper. You kidding me? All in a day's work. A prisoner, shipwrecked, and snake bitten. Now, if this happened to anybody, and they were like, man, I think I just need to take a break from the ministry, we would be like, yeah, sabbatical, you're good. Take 3 months, come back refreshed. We got your back. Like, Paul had to be like the serial one-upper, you know what I'm saying? Like, Paul walks up, he's like, hey, how you doing? You're like, ah. Oh. Had a pretty tough day, you know, the vibes are just off. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, the vibes are off, man. I was a prisoner, probably gonna be killed, and then I got in a shipwreck, almost died, and I got bit by a viper, but sorry about the vibes. You guys know those one-uppers in your life? Like, you try to tell them about your vacation. You're like, I just went to Outer Banks for a week. It's pretty cool, you know, Outer Banks, like on Netflix, and super relaxing, I loved it. They're like, wow. Did you drive there? You're like, yeah, it's like 2 hours away. Like, well, I took my private jet, my PJ, down to Greece, and I sailed around the islands. You're like, Can I just be excited about my trip to Outer Banks, you know? Like, but I love what Paul did. He was a prisoner, shipwrecked, snake-bitten, and immediately began to pray for people. Immediately, it said he found this guy named Publius, cool name, and prayed for him. And then they started bringing all of the people on the village that needed healing, and he started praying for them, and people began to get healed, and people began to get healed, and revival started happening because he did not let his circumstance and situation to slow him down from his mission. He kept his mission at the forefront and remembered and knew in his heart that Jesus was with him, so he was able to continue moving. But he had every excuse. Like, if Paul would have taken a break after chapter 28, I would have been like, dude, I get it. Chapter 29 was just no words. Paul rested. And we were like, got it, dude. I'll pick you up at 30. How did Paul keep moving? How did he stay steadfast despite having every excuse? He could have stopped serving. He could have stopped preaching. He could have stopped moving. He could have stopped praying. He could have stopped going to CG because it was inconvenient. He could have stopped serving every single Sunday. He could have stopped inviting his workplace. He could have stopped because of the inconvenience, but he didn't stop. He was focused on his creator more than anything that creation could ever throw at him. He was steadfast in his belief that if God was for him, who could be against him? He knew that it said in the word that no weapon formed against him could prosper. No prison sentence, no shipwreck, no viper, even though those things are absolutely terrifying. But have you ever felt like Paul? Like you just can't catch a break? Like maybe you weren't a prisoner that was shipwrecked and snake bitten. I understand that. And if you were, I'd like to talk to you after because we are going to make a documentary on your life. And it's going to be beautiful. And it will have a happy ending. I promise you that. Everyone will live and you will fall in love and you will ride off on a white horse into the sunset. That's tough. All right. Maybe you weren't shipwrecked. Maybe you weren't a prisoner. Maybe you weren't snake bitten, but maybe you've been a prisoner to your own thoughts. Maybe you've been a prisoner to that addiction. Maybe you've been a prisoner to anxiety, a prisoner to your thought life, a prisoner to insecurity. Maybe not in an actual shipwreck, but some relationships have been wrecked in your life. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe you lost a loved one that you didn't expect to lose this soon. Maybe friends are leaving you and stabbing you in the back and you never expected that to happen. Maybe not actually bitten by a snake, but you feel like life just keeps biting you and biting you and biting you, and you get a win and then you feel like you get 10 losses. You get a win and you just keep finding yourself in that moment, and tonight you find yourself overwhelmed to the core. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know what to do. If I do this, these people are mad. If I do this, these people are mad. If I say this, these people are mad. And you look on social media and it's just negative, 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 opinion, 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 opinion. And you find yourself in a spot where you're just overwhelmed and you're thinking, what now? You ever felt like that? You ever felt like asking God, God, what now? I'm serving you, I'm coming to church, I'm living for you, I'm trying to do these things. What now? And if you've never had that thought, I would also like to meet you after the person that has been shipwrecked and snake bitten. But I think we can learn a lot from Paul in this moment. You know, Paul said in the word, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So in this moment, as we read the story of Paul and what he walked through and how he walked through something that none of us could even imagine, yet still found himself on top of the situation moving forward, we can imitate him in this moment and we can stay focused on the mission and remember that Jesus is with you. Did you know that God is with you? Did you know that he is with you right now? Did you know that in your darkest moments that he is with you? In your best moments, in your worst moments, he is with you. When I was younger, I used to do this thing, and my wife informed me that it was OCD, and I Found that out today. I was today years old when I found out that I might be OCD. So I'm working through that. But when I was like 12 years old, I think I learned it at a summer camp. When I got scared or when I was nervous or when I was like anxious because I had like some separation anxiety, not a big deal. I just like being around people. I'll do this thing. I'll just repeat, do not fear, God is here. Do not fear, God is here. Do not fear, God is here. I'm like sitting on a ski lift. I'm like, do not fear, God is here. Like, I wish that was my biggest fear these days, you know? Do not fear, God is here. Snowboarding's scary. But in real moments, I would repeat that. Do not fear, God is here. 12 years old. Terrified of whatever situation I was going through. And I kind of like phased out of it. I stopped doing it. And then this past like year and a half, 2 years, if I can be completely honest, was probably the hardest year and a half, 2 years of my life. And as a 32-year-old man, I found myself in moments hurting, trials, sorrows, broken, not feeling God in moments, just wondering, what now? And I remember 12-year-old Luke repeating, do not fear, God is here. And I was like, well, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. So I started to do it. 32 years old, do not fear, God is here. Do not fear, God is here. God is with me in this pain. God is with me in this situation. God is with me in this. And the freedom that it began to bring, and the clarity that it began to bring, that as I looked at my circumstance, as I looked at my situation, I had a new view on it. I had a new perspective because I was no longer in my pain by myself. I was no longer in my storm by myself. I was no longer trying to navigate what I was trying to navigate by myself, but do not fear, God is here. And that's such an odd thing to put into a message, what I did when I was 12 and what helped me, but I believe that there's some people in here and you find yourself in that moment and you need to begin to speak to your storm. You need to begin to speak to your situation. Maybe it's so confusing and you don't know which way to go. There's so much pain, there's torment in your heart. Begin to speak. Do not fear, God is here. God is here. God is here. It might not look like God is here, but God is here. It might not feel like he is here, but God is here. It might not all add up, but God is here. When you're at that job you never wanted to be at, God is there. When you're having that tough conversation with a loved one, going through that battle and fight, God is there. When you're left alone with your thoughts and anxiety and it feels like it just overwhelms you at every turn, God is there. No matter where you find yourself, tough day, tough week, tough year, tough century, God is still in control. God is still moving. He has not given up on you. He has not forsaken you, and he hasn't stopped moving. You know, Paul realized that God is our ultimate promise. And we have God, and God has us, and nothing can take that away from us. So no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, no matter if we feel like we're a prisoner to life, relationships have been wrecked, we just feel snake bitten, we have to remember that the Creator is with you. The designer of your life is with you. The counselor is with you. The shepherd is with you. The prince of peace is with you. The lion and the lamb are with you. He is here at your lowest lows and he is there at your highest highs. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Our hope is not found in our career. Our hope is not found in our status. Our hope is not found in politics or our bank account. Our hope is found in Christ and Christ alone. He is the ultimate promise. And he is with us always. No circumstance, no storm, no pain, no sorrows could ever rob you of that. I came here to tell you tonight this simple thought. God is still with you. Do not fear. God is still with you. God has not given up on you. Take heart. He will be with you to the end of days. No matter if you feel it, no matter if you sense it, no matter if you got goosebumps during worship tonight, God is with you. You know one of my favorite things about the story of Paul? his troubles apply to all of us. You know, Paul was formerly known as Saul. It's just biblical, whatever. He was a murderer. Like, if you could rank sin, you know what I'm saying? Pretty high, right? Like, murder, not good. Like, they're equal. I get it all. I understand it all. But, like, not good. He was that. And God used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He made that choice. He made those ultimate mistakes. And God still chose to use him. And then later in life, you see stuff just happen to him. And God still used him. So no matter where you are in this building, no matter what you're walking through, if your storm was caused by you, God still has a plan for your life. If your storm wasn't caused by you, God still has a plan for your life. You are still called. Paul was able to navigate life, navigate this verse of sorrows and trials will come, because he stayed focused on the mission and never forgot that God was with him. And I want to take a moment just to pray for a couple people tonight. It's been on my heart to pray for people all week. I couldn't shake it. And if you're in this place and you just needed that reminder tonight, whatever you're walking through in life, whatever circumstance it may be, maybe I said it, maybe I didn't, doesn't matter. You know what it is. You know your life a lot better than I do, I hope. But you needed that reminder that God is with you in that storm. I'm going to ask for everyone just to bow your head just for privacy. And if that's you, can you just lift your head and look at me? If that's you and you needed that reminder, just look at me. Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand or anything. Just look up at me so I can know who I'm praying for. Yep. You know, it's his promise that he will never leave you. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how many doubts pile up, God is not done with you. God is not done with you. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the church. Don't give up on what you're doing. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on believing. God is not done. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for every single person that responded. God, I pray for just an overwhelming feeling of your presence. Holy Spirit, we know that one touch from you, one moment with you is everything. It can change everything. Jesus, lift their heads. Jesus, put a fire in their spirit that you are not done. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can just keep your head bowed. I'm just going to pray for one more group of people, maybe, hopefully, definitely. We got plenty of time in this service, so. I couldn't shake this one. But I believe there are at least one or two married couples in here, and you've been trying to have a kid, and it is not working. And you're battling through the discouragement of that season. If that's you, can you just look up at me? I want to pray for you. If that's you in this season, awesome. Awesome. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for those that responded. Holy Spirit, we speak miracles. God, we speak your word. God, we speak your goodness. God, I speak into that life. I speak into that relationship, God, and I pray that you would move like only you can. God, we trust you. We believe in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up at me now, everybody. You probably enjoyed the little nap I just gave you. You're welcome. But this is the last thing I want to pray for, and this is the most important thing I could ever pray for in my life. I want to give you the opportunity to come into a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've never made that decision, or maybe you once did and you've walked away, you've turned your back on Jesus. I want to invite you to come home tonight. Like I said, tonight it doesn't matter if you made the mistake. Doesn't matter if the mistake happened to you. Doesn't matter how good, how bad, wherever you find yourself in this life, God has a plan for you. God loves you. He has not given up on you, but he wants to walk with you. He wants to be with you always. On your best days, on your worst days, when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it, he wants to walk with you. So what I'm going to do is in a moment, I'm going to count to three. And I don't know why we do that, but we do it and it works. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, if that's you in this place and you want to respond to that, you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. And I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. So can we bow our heads and close our eyes? And Christians, can we be praying in this moment online? We already have three decisions. But if that's you in this place and you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, one, Jesus loves you. Two, there is no better moment than this moment right now. He is not mad at you. He is not disappointed. He loves you. Three, if that's you in this place, can you just lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it so I can pray with you and I can pray for you? If you're saying, yep, that's me. Yeah, I see that hand. That's awesome. If you're saying, yep, that's me. I want to make a decision to follow Jesus. I'm coming home to Jesus. That's awesome. I see that hand. Just a couple more moments. If you're in this place and you want to make that decision, I'm not going to try to convince you, because if I can convince you to raise your hand, someone else can convince you to put your hand down. But if you know in your heart that this moment is for you, join these other several people that have raised their hand and made a decision so I can pray with you and I can pray for you. Awesome. Awesome. Well, you can put your heads down. While we're still in prayer, why don't you just repeat this prayer after me? Say, Jesus, tonight, I choose to follow you. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you will be with me always. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, young adults, can we celebrate every single decision here and online?
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.